I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, everybody. It's Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. sportsfred@aol.com. A different kind of show, and you'll definitely find that out. Heard on Sirius 217, XM 203, all those apps. I love TuneIn. American Forces Radio, Sports Byline, Sports Map. Radio stations like KSHB 1400 in Las Vegas, Nevada. The guys will be with us. Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper. Art Source from Galaxy Sports. Our guest is very interesting, Lee Lowenfish. He's written a book on scouting baseball's endangered species. We'll talk to Lee about that, and we'll play some Barron Sports trivia. And but, you know, as we've told you many times on this show, sports and politics merge. Economics and sports definitely merge. Let's talk political. State of Kansas passed a law that says a transgender woman cannot compete in sports against other women from kindergarten on. I'm going to repeat that. From kindergarten on, and that passed in Kansas. That's now a law in Kansas. Now, I don't know much about transgender this and transgender that. Usually I have a real strong opinion on everything. And this one, not quite as strong once you're talking high school or college or the Olympics. But kindergarten? I don't know many kindergarten kids who have done something to their body at that point. I really don't think so. Now, again, okay, in this world, I think, 10% are left-handed and 10% maybe homosexual. So the percentage of transgender people in the first place would be, 0.0001 or something like that in the world. Anyways, the state of Kansas got that passed. Please explain to me if it makes any sense. Kindergarten up. Kids don't have enough problems, enough trouble in school. Hey, some are too tall, some have a big nose, some are fat. Kids have, difficulties beyond belief. Maybe they have bad parents, maybe they don't have any parents. And now you're judging them at the age of 5 in kindergarten? Are you out of your mind? Meanwhile, the state of West Virginia passed the same law. But a federal court said, you're crazy. Goodbye, Jose. You're out. And that's not a law. Anyways, email us, sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. First week of the baseball season, I got plenty to say. I'm sure you will too. Email us, sportsfred@aol.com. Back with the guys when we do come back on Sports Overnight America.
Every piece of land has a story. The Upshaws right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and figure out what is it going to take.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaws have the tools to DIY all day long. Run with us on a 1 Series tractor and start telling your story. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $134 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Scott for Scots here. You ever want to grow new grass faster? Kind of like when you press the 2x playback button on your podcast so you can speed through episodes. Except at Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass, you're speeding your way from a thin and damaged lawn to a thicker, stronger one in just weeks. Bit too fast, maybe slow it
down, okay. Let's just go back to normal speed.
Get a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass today. It grows grass 2x faster than seed alone when applied at the new lawn rate, subject to proper care.
Feed your lawn. Feed it.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa, that's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
Ends 4/15. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. Email us at sportsfred@aol.com. Later, Lee Loewenfish, his brand new book, Baseball's Endangered Species. We're talking scouts and good scouts, the bad scouts, do we need scouts, and pick up the book, and we'll talk to Lee a little later on Sports Overnight America. But first, let's go back a few days in the finals in the NCAA tournament, 14 million watched, 10 million watched the women's tournament. Mark, you have any thoughts about the telecast on Monday night as Connecticut knocked off San Diego State?
Well, you definitely know that I push God's country, Pittsburgh, to the forefront of the East Coast and everything, being an East Coast guy raised in Los Angeles. But I will tell you this. I had to mute those clowns on Monday night. I couldn't listen to them. It was UConn this, UConn that, this, that. San Diego State really never had a chance. I know they got beat by 17, but lay the praise down on the Aztecs for getting there. It was all this. All I kept hearing is three coaches have led UConn to this and that. You know, and it just got so tiresome. I had to mute it, change channels. And it, I thought to me it was a disgrace in more ways than one.
Art, you've been a play-by-play guy. What did you think of the telecast? Of course, Jim Nantz last time doing college basketball.
Well, you know, I thought that Jim Nantz handled himself with a lot of aplomb, like he always does. He's a class act. And I thought he got emotional there, which he should get emotional. 38 years is a long time to call the tournament. And he does love basketball, and he's a great sportscaster. But I felt the same way sitting, you know, on my living room couch watching San Diego State play UConn. I thought that, you know, both the color announcers, and I'm a big Bill Rafferty fan normally, but Grant Hill, the post, you know, the halftime show, it was very much East Coast biased, East Coast slanted. And, I mean, what Coach Dutcher and the Aztecs did, even making the great comeback with like 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. Yeah, they did lose by 17, but at one point, and I'm going to say another thing here. I'm going to go out on the line again. We've talked about officiating in all big sports in this last year. It was horrendous. Every call went against the Aztecs, every loose ball. I mean, it was, I was like, oh my God, am I seeing this? This can't be.
Let me interrupt.
Go ahead.
Did you wager on the Aztecs?
I wound up not betting on the game because I had done so well on the Aztecs previously. And I kind of had a feeling that UConn was going to win, but the 7.5, and then right before the game, it went to 8.5 on my side. And I thought to myself, they must know something. Well, yeah, the people who know in gambling knew that, 17 fouls called on San Diego State in the first 10 minutes of the second half. That was ridiculous.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, and we all talk about Bill Walton. I think the other Bill Rafferty just passed Bill Walton. I mean, being this kind. I mean, I didn't expect it because I had a lot more respect for Rafferty, but
man, remember the old axiom, Mark? And we're all into sports. We're all sportscasters.
Right.
On television, aren't you supposed to let the pictures dictate the game?
Benny did.
And bring in color, when it's apropos. I don't see this anymore. I see Motor Mouse. ESPN, I have to turn the sound down because everybody wants to tell me what they think. And it's no different in real life either. I mean, you turn on the news and you try to get the real truth about some political situation or some happening in the world. And it's all opinion on this and opinion on that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, somebody would just explain the facts.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. What about Kate and Clark of University of Iowa? I grew up in Southern California.
Wow.
I saw Cheryl Miller. I saw a lot of fine players. I'm not necessarily, in fact, I'm not a women's basketball fan. She made me a fan this year. Every time I watched her, I said to myself, this lady is spectacular, and apparently she's coming back to Iowa next year. Mark, what'd you think of the women's game? 10 million people viewed the championship encounter.
Yeah, that was simply amazing with the LSU and all that. But you know what? And I love women's basketball. I covered it for years, the WNBA. And you can go back to, Ann Myers laying the groundwork down. You can go to Lisa Leslie, Becky Hammon, Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, and it's just wonderful to see it. That thing that happened towards the end of that game really left a bad taste in my mouth when the handshake.
Yeah, and also, the hands in the face. And, I mean, one thing I love, and I got to go back to John Wooden, and I know this is going to make you feel good, friend. The one thing I always remembered, whether it was, against Long Beach State or whoever they were playing against in the regionals, the class from which they won games. And I was always taught, whether it was John McKay or Coach Robinson or Malavasi or Knox, shake the other guy's hand. You congratulate them if they beat you. But if you win, win with a little bit of dignity and a little bit of class and show a little humility. That really bothers me in sports. I look at what's going on in the NBA with the Mavericks when they went out and got Kyrie Irving. look what's happened to that franchise. The cancer came to Dallas, and I mean, they don't know what they're going to do. Cuban's probably going, oh, my God, did I overreact on this one?
Well, as I indicated, Mark Cuban's Jewish, and why he would pick up an anti-Semite like Kyrie Irving in the first place is beyond belief, but he did it. Folks, you can email us, sportsfred@ao.com, sportsfred@ao.com. I opened the show talking about this law in Kansas, which says that, folks, if you're just joining us, it's hard to believe. From kindergarten on, transgender women cannot compete against other women. And I'm saying to myself, I don't know that much about transgender. We don't have any in our family. The percentage in the world might be 0.0001, something like that. But I guarantee you, there isn't a kindergarten kid at this point who's taking testosterone or not taking testosterone to make them a man or a woman or whatever the case might be. Artie, you're not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. That's insane. The state of West Virginia lost this, had the same bill. A federal court said, no, goodbye, Jose. It's gone. But my point is, Artie, why would they, kindergarten on up, they're making a political statement, which is insane. Am I wrong?
Fred, I got to say this, all right? this whole transgender thing, we did have this swimming of situation between 18 and 19-year-olds. But there's less than 0.01% of the people, and they're becoming the focus of an entire society, okay? And to get involved with this in kindergarten and not telling the parents what might be going on, I mean, what are we talking about? When is government going to be pervasive in our lives? I mean, can't we let the little girls and little boys grow up? And, you know, I mean, we've talked about Mike Penner, Christine Daniels, and my relationship with that. I've had a pretty inside look at it. But, I mean, aren't there more important things dynamically that the Congress or the state houses in these states can be working on rather than those things, Fred?
Federal government now is trying to attach this to Title IX of 50 years ago and give the transgender kids the same rights. And again, I've got a strong opinion on everything. All right, you certainly can make the case that a girl against a transgender girl is at a disadvantage because that transgender girl probably has more testosterone. And of course, Real Sports, they've done a few shows on this, and the great distance runner was born with more testosterone. She's tried to get rid of it. She can't. And now she can't run in certain races and things like that. But you make the point.
But she's a regular woman.
She's a regular woman.
That's unfair.
Yeah.
I think that's really wrong. Matter of fact, that's where they should be focused on. I mean, it'd be like the East German swimming team back in the 70s. I mean, come on.
Mark, you're a grandparent. From kindergarten on up, when you look at one of your grandkids, and do you ever think at the age of 5, well, maybe that's not really a guy, it's a girl, or a girl, it's a guy. I mean, maybe at 13 or 14, maybe in your heart, make the toughest decision on earth. But Mark, think about that as a grandfather. Would you ever even dream that people would start talking about it at the age of 5 in kindergarten?
No, I mean, you know, hey, listen, nothing surprises me these days. I mean, you just look at things a lot different. We've seen a lot of things since we were going to school to where it is now. And I mean, I was on a show yesterday, and we were talking about the situation in Phoenix with Bidwell and all this. And I'm saying to myself, do we just put all these teams in a hat and draw out? Last year it was the Dolphins. The year before that it was Washington. And, you know, then you sit here and you think to yourself, well, now we have all these women hush money being paid. And I thought, well, that was the Kennedys, Clinton, and now we got Trump. So I can't make anything of this, Fred and Artie.
And how about this? How about this, you guys? I mean, this is really what it comes 30 down to.
30 seconds, Artie.
Okay, well, we'll touch it on the next
segment. All right, we'll take a break right now. Come back with the Barron Sports Trivia. Later, Lee Loewenfish will make an appearance, Baseball's Endangered Species, all straight away on Sports Overnight.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current Employee Retention Credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491.
That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. Barron Sports Trivia, where we try to prove that these guys don't know a whole lot, but sometimes they surprise you. Even Mark, the World First Sports Handicapper, and of course Art at 126 years of age, surprises you because he takes legal medicinal helpers every time we do this show. What are you taking now?
Vital Reds. They have polyphenols to go along with my focus factor and pro focus. Just been fantastic. Been feeling good. Feel like I'm alert. Feel like I'm on top of things. My wife might not agree with me on that, but you know, mostly feeling good. So that's the most important thing now.
All right, let's play some Barron Sports Trivia. Mark, you are first. Who hit the blast in the 1954 World Series where Willie Mays made the great, the Polo Grounds made the great over-the-shoulder catch that people talk about to this very day? Who hit the blast in 1954?
I'm going to throw it out there. You know me. I throw everything out there, and sometimes they stick. I'm going to say Rocky Colavito.
Rocky Colavito, you're saying that he in 54 he's playing for Cleveland, do you?
Yeah.
I think he came up a little later than that, a couple of years, maybe 1 or 2 years, but maybe not. Art, was it Rocky Colavito that hit the ball that Willie Mays, the miraculous Willie Mays, made the great catch?
No, it wasn't, Fred. It was a gentleman by the name of Vic Wirtz.
Vic? Why would you say Vic Wirtz? Hardly ever heard of him.
That's who hit the ball. And you know how deep it was in the Polo Grounds? Really? It was like 470 feet.
Yeah.
And I mean, all I remember is the black and white picture in Life magazine of Willie looking over his right shoulder, making the catch. But what I don't think a lot of people understand is he turned around and threw a BB that the second baseman cut off near the mound. They said it had to go 420 feet. Right on the money. So, I mean, one of the great catches, but yeah, it was for Vic Wirtz.
You like Cleveland Guardians?
No.
No.
could they not have done better than that?
I mean, even the Cleveland Spiders might have been better.
Well, you know, when there was a choice and Washington had it, there was a rumor they could have took Skins, Washington Skins, and Cleveland could have took the Tribe. I would have been fine with that one, wouldn't you guys?
I think they want to stay away from anything.
When I traveled the Southwest selling golf equipment, I would stop by Navajo or, you know, the different areas in the Great Southwest, Four Corners, and I would go into Indian bars and watch the Redskin games and the Cleveland Indian games. They were always on in these Indian cities. Okay. Because these people didn't look at it like they were being dogged. They looked at it like this was their team because they were a part of American history. And I've always never heard anybody argue that side of the case.
Folks, but you can email us and argue. You can argue us by sending us an email, sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com.
Chief Nakahoma just called in.
Yeah. All right, so Mark is 0-1, and Artie is 1-0 with his legal medicinal help. Now it's Artie's turn. Who hit the line drive off of Herb Score of the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians, that hit the tremendous hurler in the face, 1958? Who hit the line drive off of Herb Score that changed the guy's career? He never was
Lieutenant
the same.
Lieutenant Gil McDougal. Of the Yankees.
Why would you say Gil McDougal? He was a fine second baseman. He hit the line drive, you're saying?
Yeah, he did.
You're positive?
I'm I'd bet my life on it.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, Mark, he's betting his life on it. Mark, what do you think?
Well, it wasn't Joe Charbonneau, and it wasn't Buddy Joe, Bill.
Wasn't Buddy Bill. He's betting his life now.
Wasn't Lou Boudreau.
I'm going to hang with him on that one.
You're going to hang with him? All right, the answer is Gil McDougall, the second baseman for the New York Yankees. And Herb Score, again, never the same. Whatever it was, he could throw 100 miles an hour way back in the 50s, and he didn't throw as hard, and he didn't get as many outs. And, of course, he was a very fine broadcaster for Cleveland for many, many years. He passed away a few years ago.
And Joe Tate used to do the games, right, Fred?
Yeah. It was a good combo. Okay. Since we're talking about line drives, Mark, Jack Hamilton, the pitcher, hit this budding superstar in the face in 1967, and he was never the same. Jack Hamilton hit this budding superstar, and listen, this guy up to that point was going to be a Hall of Famer. That's how talented he was. Jack Hamilton, fastball to the face, and the guy himself became a broadcaster later on ABC in San Francisco, and I think in Los Angeles a little bit too. I'm going to give you the team, the Red Sox. Who was it, Mark Mancini, that Jack Hamilton hit him in the face?
Well, former MVP in the American League, that might help you.
Former MVP. It wasn't Jerry Remy. It wasn't him. I know that.
No, he's a second baseman. I'll tell you what. Italian, I do believe, by the name.
Tony Conglinero?
Tony Conigliaro, and he had a brother named Billy. Now, Frank, can I tell a quick story?
Yeah, go.
Okay, when Tony Conigliaro went to the Angels near the end of his career in 71,
right,
he struck out 7 times in a doubleheader in Oakland.
Against
Vida Blue. And I believe it was Blue Moon Odom. And he came back, and my dad had the Village Inn on Balboa Island. And Tony used to come in there. He was living on Balboa Island. And he came in, and he was crying. And my dad took him for a walk around the island. Because my dad broke his ankle in 7 places playing against the Bears for the Packers. And he was never the same after that. And Tony was just the most handsome guy you ever saw, great guy. But bottom line was, he was so tormented because he had such immense talent, and when he did get hit, he couldn't see out of his left eye. And the depth perception of hitting a major league fastball, that's incredible. But the long story was, I got to talk to him. He was a class act.
Yeah.
He did go into sports casting. He wound up dying of a massive heart attack at 37 because all he wanted to do was play major league baseball. But what a guy. I actually got a bunch of his bats and got to play with Tony Conigliaro bats. I wish I had kept one because he's that.
Wow. All right, we're playing Barron Sports Trivia. And, of course, the sad note, Tony died so very young. He was a good broadcaster, too, to tell you the truth. You can email us, sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. Now, Art is 3-0. He's going for the Grand Slam here. I don't know if anybody doing Barron Sports Trivia has ever gone 4-0. Let's see if Artie can do this. And it's not a hard question. Who gave up number 715 to Henry Aaron? Who gave up 715 to Henry Aaron, 1974?
Gentleman Al Downey.
Yeah.
Gentleman number 44.
You both agree? You both agree it was Gentleman?
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember that shot at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium and fans running out of the stands as Aaron was circling
third. Who caught it in the bullpen, Fred?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Henry Aaron for a reason. Again, the show is sports, but sports and politics do sort of get together. For example, Ron DeSantis, or I call him DeSantis, in Florida. The biography of Henry Aaron, Roberto Clemente, is no longer in the school library. Why? Because Henry Aaron talked about the fact that he got thousands of letters before he hit 715, that he was a black this, that, and everything else. And because the white establishment didn't want to break Babe Ruth's record. So Ron DeSantis, the future going to run for president, I suppose. Actually, the kids cannot read the biography of Clemente, Roberto Clemente, or Henry Aaron in the state of Florida. Mark, again, you're a grandfather. You have any thoughts about that?
That's pretty sad. I just, you know, talking to Darrell Evans the other day and doing a night, he played with Hank Aaron, and he was talking about all the accolades and everything and how fun it was to play on that 74 team with those guys. And yeah, it's sad. You know, it kind of reminds me of the times in Pittsburgh when, you know, Dave Parker signed the big contract and people were throwing batteries at him.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you a question. Is Pittsburgh a racist city? I mean, is it compared to Boston in your opinion? You're from Pittsburgh.
Well, talk about that. I know my dad was from Boston, and you know, I know, you know, when Tim Raines went around there and stuff, they were saying that is, I don't know. The perception could be to a certain extent, but I just think bad apples can spoil a crop too.
Well, Fred, there's only been one major league team, okay, in baseball history that started 9 black guys in one game.
That was the
game.
Pirates.
And that was Danny Murtaugh's Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
Although I believe the Giants could have come pretty close to that back in the 60s. But my point being, you know, I think, you know, honest to God, we've come a long way. We have a long way to go, but we've come a long way. I think the problem
is aren't we going backwards? If DeSantis takes those kind of books out of the library, aren't kids supposed to read everything? All right, we'll take a break and come back with Lee Loewenfisch, Baseball's Endangered Species, Inside the Craft of Scouting by Those Who Lived It, Sports Overnight America. We'll continue.
Progressive's Home Court Explorer lets you easily compare our direct rates with multiple companies. Now that we've covered something you could do, it's time for sports stuff you definitely could not do.
If you were head coach, you would not have gone for it on fourth down. Your confidence in your play calling ability might be a little overblown, considering you're barely confident in which restaurant to order takeout from, let alone choosing a play in front of 70,000 screaming fans.
But you definitely can use Progressive's Home Court Explorer to easily compare rates. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Zero emissions goals are driving automakers and consumers to accelerate the shift to electric vehicles, EV. But roadblocks still exist to allow for their transition. Recent data from the IBM Institute for Business Value found that 50% of surveyed customers are considering getting an EV in the next 3 years. However, only 13% of industry executives anticipate that their countries will be ready to support the EV fleet by 2030. Key factors such as public charge point availability, reliability, EV and energy costs, and network connectivity are impacting EV adoption. Moreover, none of the executives surveyed believed that standard cars will be sold after 2040. Jonathan Wright, Global Managing Partner, IBM Consulting.
Our survey shows that a significant transition is going to happen by 2040, but it will require a sustainable power grid that can meet and exceed the expected demands. It'll take an ecosystem of companies across industries, governments, and other stakeholders for EV to really take hold. So the time for action is absolutely now.
To learn more, visit ibm.com/sustainable-mobility, sponsored by IBM.
This report is sponsored by Boehringer Ingelheim.
I'm Bernie Williams, and I lost my dad to idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, one of the most common forms of interstitial lung disease, an umbrella term for over 200 rare conditions that can cause scarring of the lungs and may make it difficult to breathe. My dad was my hero. He was the one to introduce me to music, and it is something that helps me feel connected to him even today. Music was always something that helped me cope as a caregiver. Writing a song to honor my father and his own journey with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis was a way to put my feelings down on paper, and I know so many people can relate. Check out Tune In to Lung Health to hear more about what living with interstitial lung disease really means and the important role that music can play in helping to cope with this disease. You will find a series of vocal and breathing exercises, playlists, and some of my favorite tunes, and personal stories from people who have been affected by interstitial lung disease. Visit TuneIntoLungHealth.com to learn more.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples, and I couldn't miss it.
Ends 4/15. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Back Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. I'm Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. Sadly, Lowenfish with us. Baseball's endangered species, inside the craft of scouting by those who lived it. Lee, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm pleased to be with you. It's been the books, here we are with Tom Greenwade on the cover. And
it's been a thrill.
I mean, I did a book on Branch Rickey.
Sure.
And that whetted my appetite for scouts. And I've known scouts since way back in last century. Billy Blitzer was the first one I knew. My father was a dermatologist. He had umpires for patients. I knew Babe Pinelli. I didn't know Bill Stewart, but my father won a case for Bill Stewart when Leo DeRocher spiked him and it got infected.
Oh, boy.
And so baseball has been around me for my life. And when I met Billy Blitzer at a high school game in New York on the West Side, I said, are you related to Ida Blitzer, who was a patient of my father's? And yeah, it's my grandmother. Are you related to Dr. Lowenfish? That's my father. We've been friends ever since. He introduced me to Herb Stein, who signed Rod Carew. And then after the draft, Frank Viola and Gene Larkin and several others. And was a Senators and Twin Scouts. And I really got to appreciate how important the Scouts are, what stories they have, their disagreements on tools, but they're largely dissatisfaction with how analytics and the Moneyball people have been taking over the game. And that's why I wrote this new book.
Our guest, Lee Lowenfish, Baseball's Endangered Species, Inside the Craft of Scouting by Those Who Lived It, Nebraska Press, Amazon.com. Lee, I read the book, I enjoyed the book, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. You know, you mentioned most people know Branch Rickey from the point of view of the Jackie Robinson situation or stealing Roberto Clemente from the Dodgers. The whole thing behind me, you can see I'm a Dodger fan my whole life. Okay, Dodgers, owned by a billion-dollar organization called the Guggenheims. We talk about scouting. Let's talk about betting. Trevor Bauer. I knew some of the UCLA kids from a decade ago. There wasn't one who I knew who could stand Trevor Bauer. All right, he goes to Arizona. He gets thrown out of there, Cleveland, Cincinnati. The Dodgers, with all the money on earth, how can they make mistakes? Do scouts or do organizations care about character at all?
Leave a message.
Well, listen, I don't drive. Sorry for these goddamn people, these robocalls. But yeah, one of the books I take issue with at the beginning of my book, the MVP machine. They sing the praises of this guy Kyle Boddy, who founded Driveline and Boddy, Bauer was a big part of that whole thing. You know, they get so enamored of how the velocity registers on their machines and the change, and even in his case, change of speeds. But yeah, it's a shame they don't judge character. I mean, I tell the story in my book about one of Branch Rickey's scouts meets Charlie Barrett, and Barrett tells the story of he's scouting in the hills of Montana, a player who he's heard good things about, and it takes him days to find him. He finds him in a bar, and he's drinking up, and Barrett doesn't even bother to watch him pitch. But you see, back then, there were only 16 teams, and every kid that was athletic wanted to play baseball. Now, I mean, the competition is so great from the other sports, and look at the problems that football and basketball are having with that kind of people.
You think it might be more of a societal problem right now? Because I mean, we've got so many problems in our country now, and the most important thing about our future is our kids, and our kids are being inundated with, whether it's fentanyl, whether it's whatever. you know, I mean, education doesn't seem to be quite doing the job that it should be doing. But then again, we look in the past and some of the most nefarious characters of all time, guys like, you know, Cobb and Ruth, they weren't exactly choir boys, were they, Lee?
No, but they loved the game and they worked hard at the game. And that's what I'm concerned about. As it is a societal issue now. And I'm not one of these people that says the good old days were better, because talent is probably better than ever in terms of the but I know so many of the old
scouts. Is the passion there is what you're basically trying to say. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it was Ricky who coined the five tools. You know, hit with power, run, throw, and field. The sixth tool is makeup. And, you know, the thing I loved about Ricky, and that comes out in this book, too, is that when he interviewed Jackie Robinson about, do you have a girl, and, you know, what church do you belong to, anyone he ever employed, he gave the third degree to, because he wanted to see what the work ethic was, what the character was. I quote Julian Mock in my book, who I never met, but I talked to on the phone. His day job, he was a scout for the Braves and the Reds, and he was a principal in Georgia. And believe me, high school principals know something about young people. And when I asked him about, well, should you sign as a high school player or after college? And he had a very simple explanation. He said, well, if you want to go to college and play ball, well, go to college. You want to go to college to play ball, well, sign now, because our scouts it can train you better than the coaches they had back in his day. The other thing that Mock would ask when he was hiring scouts, because, you know, scouts have to hire each other, he asked four questions. You really love this game? Do you really, you're willing to work harder than you ever worked in your life? Are you willing to learn? Are you not stubborn in your ways? Can you learn? And the fourth one is very important too. Are you able to laugh and have fun every day? And that's, you see, the game of baseball, which is why I love it, it's a game of failure. I mean, and it's a game of conquering failure. And this old scouts and some of the new ones who are not just looking at algorithms, look into a character of a person, and the good ones make good guesses on that. Clearly, the Dodgers didn't on Trevor Bauer and the other teams who signed them. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, the Dodgers have so many edges, as do the Yankees, that they can make mistakes.
Well,
and, you know, but you know, the teams that don't have the biggest markets can't afford to make mistakes, and they do it all the time.
Let me ask you something, Lee. Mark Mancini here, and blessed to have you on this show with Artie and Fred. But when I look at, you know, and I got a couple friends that were scouts, Logan White with the Dodgers, Zach Manassian with the Giants. And when I look at scouts, and everybody could look at the Dodgers and Yankees as maybe the bar, I tend to disagree a little on this. Following baseball for, you know, six decades, the Braves and the Cardinals are there year in and year out. And, you know, the Braves, 14 division titles, one World Series. But the Cardinals, there's a Cardinal way of playing baseball. And year in and year out, those two teams are right up there with the Dodgers. And the
Yankees. Well, no, I think you misunderstood me. I said the Yankees and the Dodgers in today's baseball have such – I have unlimited –
money.
But yeah, I mean,
Branch
Rickey started the Cardinals. I was on in St. Louis last night and said that, you know, Rickey signed and Charlie Barrett signed Jim Bottomley at a tryout camp at Washington U of St. Louis in 1919 because they couldn't afford to go south. Like they had no budget. And by 1926, Rickey was able to beat the Yankees, and then from 30-31, he was in two World Series, and at the end of 31, Rupert of the Yankees told Ed Barrow, we got to do a farm system, and they hired George Weiss. Right. So, no, the Cardinals and Rickey, that goes all the way through the Brooklyn Dodgers, certainly, and even the Pirates, because he wasn't around to see the Pirates win in 1960. He had tried the Continental League, which didn't succeed, but it led to expansion. And I hope people look back at the Continental League, because eight of those teams, I mean, the Angels and the Mets came in, but the other six that were in it all became major league franchises later. The problem was that your baseball was not led at that time by anyone significant, and Branch Rickey was old, and it was hard to pull that off. So no, the Cardinals and the Braves, I mean, I have a big chapter in the book on Paul Snyder, who's still with us, a lifelong Brave from the minors to they needed a job when they moved to Atlanta. So he was the director of stadium activities and of administration. It was the only job he ever hated because he wasn't on the field.
Right.
Hold on, Mark. We got to, this is Sports Overnight America. Our guest, Lee Loewenfisch, Baseball's Endangered Species. We're talking scouting. Lee, I got to ask you this question because I only got a couple minutes to go. You write in this book about Moneyball. And Moneyball has changed the way scouts look at specific players. They're all the tools, but since Moneyball and the A's in those years, and say Tampa Bay now and Tampa now, are they looking for something else? Because you don't need the $20 million or the $40 million player. You can win with a $56 million budget like the Pirates, and the Dodgers have four times that, and Yankees have six times that. So talk about Moneyball, what Moneyball has done to the game of scouting.
Well, what Moneyball did, and it was at college, this started with Theo Epstein and the Dodgers, and even a little earlier. It looked at it brought in high level mathematics and algorithms, because players were not high school ball was failing, and they decided math majors from MIT and business schools, they thought that if you study just film, you could see actions. And they were looking for just numbers, and so many of the scouts, including myself, as a educated fan, it's not important that you can throw 100 or 104 miles an hour. It's how you change speeds, and does your ball move, and are you competitive? I mean, what kind of teammate are you all? That's what's been lost with this emphasis on Moneyball. And, you know, I like to see baseball succeed in areas where it hasn't. So part of me wants the Seattle fans to be rewarded. They're drawing well. But that GM DePoto, this is Moneyball because he's now in better ball. I mean, and they've gotten so analytical that
fired more than a lot of people think he's been fired.
But you see, the problem is, you know, that they stole Castillo from the Reds because the Reds don't want to compete. And until the owners of the weak franchises become better owners, you know, we're going to have these problems. But the thing is, the game is so great.
Hey, I know. Lee, you got 30 seconds to talk about the book and
Yes. Well, no. The scouts were the scouts can you can get the book through my website, LeeLoewenfisch.com, through the University of Nebraska, UNLEDU, and to just what Mr. Calloway, because I don't have your name. The other good thing about that new deal with the minor leaguers is that the major leagues have agreed not to lop off any minor league teams, which they did 2-3 years ago, which was a slap at all of us who love the minor leagues. And as I say from one of the scouts before World War II, the minor leagues are where the major leagues get their players. If the minor leagues die, the major leagues die.
Lee Loewenfisch with us, Baseball's Endangered Species, Nebraska Press, major bookstores everywhere. Back with more on Sports Overnight America.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you are ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Cancel your timeshare now with a free call. 800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. That's 800-824-5131.
Back on Sports Overnight America. You can email us, sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. Thank you, Lee Loewenfisch of Dayton Species. Inside the Craft of Scouting by those who lived it, and quite a book indeed, Nebraska Press, Amazon.com. Let's talk baseball our last 2 minutes. Chip Carey, baseball season's with us, so I watch Chip Carey doing the St. Louis Cardinals games after 20 years of doing the Braves games. Mark, I think Chip Carey's a fine announcer. Why do you think he left Atlanta? Because I don't know why.
Yeah, that's being a traitor, man. You got to be loyal, man. That you follow your father's footsteps in there. I don't know.
His grandfather did St. Louis Cardinals baseball, gentlemen. Yeah.
I don't know what to make out of it, but you know what? I'll tell you. Who knows? But you know what? I don't care about the Cardinals. I love my Pirates, man.
All right, Artie, what do you think of Chip Carey as an announcer versus Skip and Harris?
I've listened to Chip Carey since he did Cubs baseball on WGN. Yeah. I've been a Chip Carey fan my whole life. To be honest with you, I think the St. Louis Cardinals present to him a little bit more money, more cachet. I think eventually you're going to see Chip Carey move from that position, much like Joe Buck and Jack Buck, into the Fox lead announcer position in baseball. And that's the reason why I think he went to KMOX in St. Louis.
Hey, let me just say this. I've got DirecTV, and I bought the baseball package. It's like $25 a month. They're ripping me off, but I do enjoy it, to tell you the truth. I get it every year. But the interesting thing is, you know, you can't see, let's say the Dodgers are playing Arizona. You can't get to the Arizona telecast, except you can. If you go to the front page where they have all the games, now you get it in a smaller picture.
Right. Yeah.
So I enjoy listening to the other announcers because then it's not pro Dodgers or pro Angels or anything like that. Artie, you were play-by-play. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I love it. I mean, that was my most fun in the old days working for Mizuno, when we would go to all the sporting goods stores in America, spring trainings, driving in the middle of Texas in the middle of the night, and you'd be turning in a baseball game, and you'd hear Gene Nelson, or you'd hear Harry Carey and Jack Buck, or you'd hear the great Kansas City announcers in those days. It was so awesome to get a fresh perspective of your team from the other announcer's viewpoint. So key, so awesome. I miss that.
Folks, that's about it for this edition of Sports Overnight America. Thank you, Art. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Lee Loewenfisch. Stay tuned all night long for more of sports overnight, America.